We're backstage at the Isle of Wight Festival and I'm joined in my caravan by Bliss of tonight's headliners, Faithless. Happy to be here.
Yeah, very much so. It's great to be back.
Yes, because you were last here 2005,
I think it was,
yes. Does that sound about right?
It does sound about right, back in the mists of time. And I remember it vividly because it was just fantastic.
What do you remember most about that?
I remember most that there's a bar right next to the stage and you can watch the whole show on a very nice TV screen from a very nice bar with a very nice pint. If you're not watching yourself, obviously.
So will you be doing that tonight?
Probably, yes. Yeah, keep warm before we go on, definitely.
I have to say, one of the very first festivals it was the first festival I went to, V Festival, and Faithless were there, and you were just so mesmerised. It's such a show to watch. You had guys doing acrobatics. There was a guy kind of pulling himself up on these huge white... Do you remember
that? That was on the telly. That wasn't at V Festival, I don't think. That was the MTV Awards. We've never had any dancers or anything like that. It's just a show. Unless there was projections and that
maybe.
Weaved into the show.
Yes,
but it was brilliant. I mean, we've played V Festival many times and actually we're playing there again. So it's going to be a summer of some very strong and well-renowned British festivals as well as European festivals. So, yeah.
So when you were putting together Faithless tracks back in the day, did you sort of have the live vision, I guess, at the forefront of your mind?
Not at all. We weren't a live band. We started off as a studio project. We just got together to make one single, which was Salvemere, and then we enjoyed it so much we thought, we must do that again. And that record actually got signed to Island Records. It sat on a shelf for 6 months. We thought, this is ridiculous, let's put it out ourselves. And by that time we got back together with Maxi and decided to make an album. Our first album, Reverence, was made in 17 days. So it was kind of a very conversational process. And as I say, there was no band. It was just the three of us in a studio. And it was because nobody was paying attention to our album that our radio plugger said, why don't you put a band together just to let people know there's a whole album there? Because people on the dance scene knew about the kind of dancey singles.
Yeah, of course.
But it hadn't kind of exploded into the global phenomena I guess we are now, of sorts. So really, it was so ramshackle. We were so chaotic. We got a load of mates together and did a gig, which was rammed and a lot of fun at the now defunct, sadly, Jazz Cafe at London.
Yeah.
It's just been sold on to a different company. It's going to become something else. But that was the historic site of our very first ever gig. And from there, the record started going up the charts in Germany, actually, and we started touring. They heard that we had a live band, and they said, can you come to Germany? We're like, oh, yeah, all right, then. So we sauntered over there, and suddenly Insomnia was rocketing up the charts, and the venues got bigger and bigger and bigger. So from playing a tiny little gig at the Jazz Cafe, suddenly we were playing up to 5,000-seat venues, and it was a total baptism of fire. And actually, it was in Germany we first heard ourselves. A German radio station had recorded the show and we listened to it on the tour bus after and we're like, we kind of sound all right, don't we? And it was a kind of a little, if you like, a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And really our lives kind of became utterly bonkers from that point onwards, really. And our feet didn't really touch the ground for a couple of years, by which time we had travelled the world quite comprehensively and then came off the road to make our second album, Sunday 8 PM, which was we've all been on the road so long we've all had relationship catastrophes album.
Yeah.
And on we went.
So album.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, we started off in the little dance tents at lots of the festivals and people definitely took a chance booking us because there weren't many dance acts that had, if you like, a live show that was beyond DJing. And then they finally kind of, you know, ended up booking us for the main stages because they realised we rocked as hard as any rock band could as well. And obviously dance has become this global, you know, language. It doesn't seem to have any barriers. It's become an unstoppable force, you know. There was a time when people were writing off dance music and saying it was dead and that was the end, and journalists were saying it was, you know, a totally spent force. And now you've got a whole new generation coming up for whom I guess our records still resonate, and not least because we did a remix album last year, 2.0, and we enlisted a lot of kind of current DJs and artists to, if you like, kind of refresh the music and bring it to a new audience. So that went really well. It was brilliant to be able to get back together to celebrate our 20-year anniversary and have a number one album and feel that it was, you know, feel that we were missed as well, but also feel relevant to a new, younger audience who weren't even born when we started. That is the mad thing. When you look out, Maxie will say, yeah, has anybody not been to a Faithless gig before? And you see a sea of hands, you're like, oh, gosh. It's an amazing feeling, you know. And I love that a festival like Isle of Wight, I see people here, they've brought their kids.
Yeah, it's
you know, they may know Faithless from, if you like, the first time round. And this time they're all going to get a little taste of the magic. I hope. Well, we're 21 now. It's amazing to say 21 again.
Yeah, 21 all over again. With the 20th anniversary, was that always going to happen? Was it who made that first phone call and said,
me. I was actually in the bath and I suddenly thought, oh my God, next year it will be 20 years since we got together. We should do something to commemorate it. And it actually sort of started off as a conversation because our record label, Columbia, had a lot of really quite strong dance artists on. So I had this idea that it would be the Columbia artists remixing us. People from Mark Ronson to Calvin Harris, right across the board. It didn't end up working out like that just because of schedules and various things, but the record company came on board and were like, that's a great idea, let's do a 20th anniversary album. And it took quite a while to put together just because people are busy, you know? But we pretty much got most of the artists that we wanted to, and it was really enjoyable. You know, some offerings much more musically to my taste than others, but I felt like it reflected the kind of breadth of dance music and also how Faithless have gone across genres. And I know we're known as a dance band or electronic act, but all of our albums kind of go all over the place musically. And I'm quite proud that the remix album also reflected that. It wasn't just one tempo or one particular genre. There was kind of your big bangers, but there was also like future R&B and some very kind of groovy deep house vibes on there, you know, all over the place.
Did you have a moment of thinking, A, 20 years, where did that go and how did that happen? But then when you were back together, did it feel like time hadn't passed?
I thought it really was, you know, Maxie's decision because he wanted to do quite a few other things as well, which he actually did last night, his show with his new band called Maxie Jazz and the E-Types, which is a very, very different sort of musical smorgasbord. It's much more blues and soul and funk and kind of got a really 70s vibe. And he played the big top last night. So he just was learning and teaching himself the guitar and loads of music. But when we said, look, it's the 20th anniversary, should we do a few shows to kind of celebrate? He was really excited about it because it also meant that he could take his band on the road as well. It kind of felt like everything came to fruition at the same time.
I just meant for me, when people talk about 20 years ago, for me the 90s was like 10 years ago, and then you go, oh no,
it feels like it was yesterday. No. Oh my God, I know, where does the time go?
How did that happen?
Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? What can I say? I'm still living in the 90s. I think the thing about dance music is it's very futuristic, and for me personally, it's the most amazing feeling that people still care about our music 20 years on and we get to play it. But also I'm very interested in just carrying on making new music. That's what excites me, and hopefully moving things forward. I mean, again, with dance music being a futuristic thing, I feel like whenever we play live, we always tweak the set. It's not the same set that you will have seen in 2005. I always like to update it, refresh it, if you like, remix it. So it kind of, feels current. But I guess you guys will be the judge of that later.
I'm going to be reliving my first ever festival. I know I am. You always sort of fused electronica with contemporary songwriting. Has the progression of sort of technology and instruments made your lives easier or more complicated, would you say?
Very good question. I think technology has made things hugely complicated in some ways because there are just, if you're in terms of making music, there are so many plugins and different cool things you can do with your computers and your keyboards and your synthesizers and whatever and production techniques. You never know when to finish things. To know when something is truly finished, when you can play around with music so much more. When you used to record it onto 2-inch tape, you kind of had your options. If you wanted to edit it, you'd have to cut the tape up with a razor blade. But now you can mess around with arrangements and beats and structures and sounds, and you know, it's almost endless. So you have to kind of know when to draw the line, or if you like, have a picture of the music in your head to start with. Otherwise, you could never finish anything. And of course, technology's changed how you disseminate your music to the public. It's, you know, people put stuff online in an instant. You don't have to wait for the whole record company machine to crank into action necessarily.
Yeah.
So you've got a much more instant relationship with your fans, I guess. in some ways. Obviously, it's a revolution.
How involved are you in the live show production, sort of the lights and the screens and all of it.
Well, for this one, we're actually using pretty much the same show as we went out with last year because we didn't do that many shows with it. It's still, if you like, part of the 2.0 reboot, as I like to call it, which had a whole theme and a visual aesthetic that was carried through to the album cover, to the press pictures and so forth. And it's very laser-based, and I love a laser, as I'm sure you do, being a lady of the 90s. So if you like
it, love a laser.
Well, it feels really futuristic, but it's totally referencing the raves of the past.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
All of that comes together in the live show as well.
Oh, do you know what? I can't.
I love a theme.
Love a theme. Love a laser. Bliss, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.